Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
It is better to die not having natural children, can adopt you or whatever, than to compromise your faith and your Christianity and go and either sleep with somebody, commit an adultery, or go and get some juju. The English don't understand juju. You know, go and get some demonic power, like a witch doctor, and then they give you a child. Where is the child come from? Don't make Abraham's mistake. Oh. Don't try and fast forward God. Wait! Be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You're going to get it! Say, Pastor, you don't know time has gone. Are you 99 yet? Is your wife 90 yet? Where there's life, there's hope. That's what I'm going to close this message today on. This Abraham thing is going to take us about 3 or 4 messages. This is number 2. Let me tell you something. God told Abraham, said, don't. I've made my covenant with you. You are no longer Abraham. You're not Abraham, father of many nations. Verse 5. Neither shall thy name be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. At this time, nothing. And I will make nations of thee. You got it again. He said it 3 times now. To show you that this covenant in Abraham is all inclusive. It's not just for the Jews. It's for every human being. And kings, I didn't hear it, shall come out of thee. And I will establish, I didn't hear you, my covenant between me and thee and thy seed, or thy, today we'll say thy descendants, after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant. It's not going to stop with Israel and the Jews. It's eternal. Through Jesus Christ. To be a God unto thee and to thy seed, which will include both Gentile and Jew, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 3. If ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It's very important we get this. It's because most people think that God is partial to the Jews and that, you know, it's, you know, killing all the Palestinians and, you know, no. You read the book upside down. God has already told you what to do. You bless Israel, I'll bless you. And everything that Israel has, you can get it in Jesus. Watch this. A better covenant established upon better promises. So what are you belly aching about? What are you complaining about? There is nothing God has given natural Israel and his seed that he has not made available to the Gentile through Jesus Christ. So instead of envying Israel, instead of fighting Israel, instead of wanting to kill Israel, ally with them. You see, the church, I'm going to have to say this publicly, and I'm glad I'm saying it on this platform, on YouTube, and it goes out internationally. Many people in the church are in error with this wrong understanding that the church is a substitute for Israel. It will never be. You say, oh, well, now the church is spiritual Israel, so God has done away with Israel. No! Read your Bible. Romans 11, Romans 9, 10 says, has God forsaken his people whom we foreknew? He said, God forbid. He said, I who am writing to you am an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, no. I have a covenant with Israel, natural Israel, which I've made with them through their fathers Abraham, and they are beloved for their fathers' sakes, in spite, this is Olubi Johnson paraphrase, in spite of their disobedience and all of that. That will not go away. But at the same time, through Jesus Christ, I have a covenant that every Gentile can have the blessings that I have made to Israel. So the Bible now says, I love it, Pastor Andrew. You know what it says? He said, who will search the wisdom of God? He punished Israel in the Old Testament, you know, and then used the Gentiles. Now, through the church, he's now blessing Israel. So nobody can boast. Israel cannot boast. Gentile cannot boast. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a clap offering. When you understand it, you will not be anti-Semitic. Being anti-Semitic is foolishness. It is blindness, because you are actually hating yourself, because your salvation is through the Jews. Amen. To the Jew first, and then the Gentile. But if you want to eliminate the Jew, it will never get to you. So it is enlightened self-interest to love the Jews, pray for the Jews, bless the Jews. Your Bible is Jewish. Your Savior is Jewish. Your blessings are Jewish. Your heaven is Jewish. You haven't read it. All the gates of heaven are named after the 12 tribes. So if you don't like Jews, you can't enter heaven. Because on the gate of the place is Jew. The foundations of the city is Jewish. You do yourself a great disservice. I'm saying this thing deliberately because there's a wave of anti-Semitism that is going on in the world, particularly in the Western world now and in the academia. You know, it's popular to go against Israel, but you say, oh, you know, Israel is this, Israel, they're occupiers of land. No! The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Who made the land? God. He can give it to whoever he wants. And he has said, this one is Israel's own. End of story. But if you choose to coexist with Israel, he will bless you. Ask Jordan. Ask Egypt. All these nations have learned that if you don't fight with Israel, they will be blessed. So why want to eliminate Israel? Live side by side in peace. But if you say you want to fight them and kill them and death to the Jew, you're saying death to you. Because the person who is going to fight you is not the Jew, it's God. Don't go there. It's foolishness, it's short-sightedness, it's a lack of knowledge. No. Love the Jew, pray for them, pray for Israel, show mercy to Israel. In spite of they're not angels, they have their faults, they're sinners like everybody else. And you know what? God will bless you for doing that. Who's still on my side? You know, when you get into this Jewish-Gentile thing, you know. And I trust that God is helping give you a balance here to show you God's mind, the kind of person God is. So God said, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. This is this land of Canaan that we are still fighting about today. And all the land of Canaan, for a temporary possession. This will not change. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, I got to hurry. Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed, that is thy descendants after thee in the generations. Then he now gives them a physical sign of the covenant. This is what I love. Let's give the Apostle Paul another clap offering. Ah! Talk about revelation. I want to bring something out now that Paul writes both in Romans as well as in Galatians. I think a little bit of it in Hebrews. He said, this is my covenant. He's not telling him what he wants him to do. Thou shalt keep with thee, between you and me and thy seed after thee, every male child among you shall be circumcised. This was when the physical act of circumcision was included in the physical Abrahamic covenant with Israel. So every male child, you circumcise the foreskin of their flesh, of the male organ, you know, and you will, every man child among you shall be circumcised. It's very, very important. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be, everybody say, a token. It is not the real covenant. It is actually a physical token of your acceptance of the covenant. Very, very important. And it shall be a token of covenant betwixt you and me. And he that is 8 days old, medical science tells us that only God could have known this. Because after 8 days, then the blood starts to clot. Before 8 days, the blood doesn't clot. So if you circumcise the child before 8 days, it would bleed to death. They just discovered that how many years ago? Medical science. But it's always been so. The only person, why 8 days? Because God knew what he put there. Another clap offering for the Lord. Don't your neighbor say, fear God. Shall be every male child, man child in your generations, and he that is born in your house, etc., 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 etc. Now let me move on as I close. And then we'll take it from here next week. That reminds me. Next week we're going to have communion. We're not going to have regular service. We're going to have communion. I probably will do the Bible study, and then we'll have communion. Very, very important. I want to do it before Passover. You know, how many people are Jewish here? I am. Spiritual Jew. You can't see your hand, though. I have a lot of Gentiles in this place. I want the Jews in Christ Jesus. Give me a wave offering. Now put your hand down. If you're Jewish, you should know that we have 4 sets of feasts every year. Coward, I got a word for you. Not you, but all of them. Now, I know most of you know the 3 of them. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. But there's a 4th one, Purim. It was instituted years later. We just finished our reading, in our Bible reading, the book of Esther. Are you listening to me? Then God asked me a rhetorical question just a few days ago, because I just read the Bible afresh on Esther. He says, what does Passover foreshadow? Born again. I got that. What does Pentecost foreshadow? Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. I got that. What does Tabernacles foreshadow? Perfection in gathering of the fruit of the Spirit, gathering of the nations, perfection of the fullness of Christ. I got that. Then he said, what does Purim foreshadow? What does Purim foreshadow? Don't your neighbor say, come next week. Or the upper week. I'll give you a little hint. Purim comes just before Passover. It's exactly 1 month. Passover is the first month of the year in the civil calendar. You know? And Purim is in the 12th month. Passover is celebrated on the 14th day of the first month. Purim is celebrated on the 13th and 14th day of the 12th month. So, what does it foreshadow? It foreshadows our victory over existential satanic persecution and affliction that wants to eliminate the Jews before they celebrate the next Passover. Passover is a time of harvest. There are 3 harvests every year. There is Passover, which is the first of the first fruits. Then there is Pentecost, which is the first fruits. Then there is Tabernacles, which is the full harvest. Every year, Satan casts lots. That's where we get Purim from. He's talking about, you know, astrology, demonic. So Haman, he went to go and cast lots to ask the devil when is going to be the best time to kill the Jews. So it was in conjunction and in counsel with principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So that date was chosen because they knew it was going to be just before Passover. But thank God for Esther and Mordecai. A clap offering for them. And fasting and prayer. And they turned it around. So God now instituted it and told Mordecai they should write to all the Jews from their generations of them on, that they should always, you know, keep the Feast of Purim every year just before Passover as a time of celebration, giving of gifts, how God delivered Israel, you know, from an existential. The plan was to eliminate all the Jews and therefore cut off our Messiah. Haman was angry with Mordecai, but Satan didn't want Jesus to come. He just used Haman as a tool. And Haman didn't really understand the full implications of what he was doing. He was just, you know, trying to, you know, he was indignant because Mordecai would not bow to him. So today, whenever you plant the seed of God's word, watch this, Pastor G, it'll blow your mind. Whenever you plant the seed of God's word, I preached this message at the beginning of the year or towards the end of last year, seed, rain, and harvest. It follows the same cycle as the agricultural, this thing. Usually it takes 6 months before you start getting the first of the first fruits. Then 8 months correspond to Pentecost, where you get the first fruits and then you get the full harvest in about a year. That's why the Bible says Isaac sowed in that land, and in the same year he received 100-fold. But this is the point. When Satan sees, watch this, brethren, once Satan sees that your seed is about to give you a first fruits, he attacks you in the 12th month so that you never get the harvest. And sadly, most Christians give up. Remember, I'll give you an example, exemplified by David. David is going to become king and anointed in Hebron. But a month before, he attacks Ziklag. The whole idea was to get David killed so that David would never become king. But David encouraged himself in the Lord and he pursued the Amalekites and he recovered all. Just like Mordecai and Esther encouraged themselves in the Lord and they pursued Abraham and they overcame him. Just like you, Larry, and you, Wega, and you, Laolu, and you, Kaude, and all of you, you know, whenever your harvest is, the darkest hour is just before your harvest. And that's what Purim signifies. Whenever God is about to do something great in your life, Satan will bring his biggest attack through Haman, through Ziklag, to try and stop it. Don't give up. Remember Purim. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. That is what Purim signifies. Foreshadows. Hallelujah. Oh God, I gotta stop. So what happens? Abraham is circumcised. He obeys God. You know, he gets healed. You know, then God does a miracle. And he works on Sarah's womb. And he comes and says, Sarah is going to have a child. By this time, in 9 months' time, she will be pregnant and she will have a baby. She didn't believe at first, but God rebuked her. He said, you laughed. I didn't laugh. Dishonesty. It's still around today. Forgetting that God sees everything and God is everywhere. But God was displeased, but he wasn't angry. He said, but you laughed. He said, but anyway, in spite of you, this time next year,
you will have a baby.
So, we know the story. Abraham and Isaac and Sarah come together sexually, and she conceives. And lo and behold, 9 months later, she has laughter. His name is Isaac. It means laughter. God was laughing at the devil. You said it will not happen. Now, two or three things I want to bring out. I'll take it from next year. Number one, Abraham only had to wait a few more years. He did not have to sleep with Hagar. Don't do it. Don't rush. You have need of patience. For after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Had Abraham spoken to God, God would have said, no, it's just a few years, just wait. They would have had Isaac and would not have had the Ishmael problem. Number one. Number two, God does a miracle of the reversal of aging. Let's use the Bible expression, he renewed the youth of, watch this, both Abraham as well as Sarah. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews this way, it says, she receives strength to conceive. That word strength is the same Greek word dunamis that is used for power and strength. So it's a supernatural power of God, dunamis, entered all of you who are believing God for the fruit of the womb. Hear me. You know, entered Sarah's womb and reconfigurated a menopausal womb that was no longer able to bear children. Observe. Sarah was barren from when she was a young woman. From Ur of the Chaldees. All those years, 75, 80, she never had children. And we know the problem was not with Abraham. Because Abraham was able to impregnate Hagar. So we know the problem was not with Abraham. It was Sarah. Only, you know, where the gynecologists will be able to tell us, you know, we don't know the details. But something was wrong. Maybe the fallopian tubes were squeezed up. We don't know. But you know what? God reversed it. And he will reverse it for you. She receives strength to conceive seed. But watch this. Pastor G, this is miraculous. It is wonderful. 90-year-old woman. First of all, God does the miracle of doing of the womb. Then her youth becomes renewed. She and Abraham go to a place, the kingdom of Abimelech. A 90-year woman is looking so beautiful. Now, come on, folks. Don't get religious on me. Let's be real. Who is going to take a 90-year-old haggard woman and put her inside the harem? Nobody. But when Abimelech saw Sarah, just a few months, maybe Isaac had not yet even been conceived, or she was just about to be conceived, you know, because you know it takes 9 months. So, and the Bible says the time of life maybe about a year. So, maybe between the time the covenant was made, you know, and Abraham was circumcised. Then God did the miracle in the womb. The womb had changed. Then she started looking younger. So when Abimelech saw her, he thought she was 30. Yes! She must have looked like a beautiful 30, 35-year-old woman. Fine girl, no pimples. Fine girl, no wrinkles. They say fine boy, no pimples. Fine girl, no wrinkles. So let me get this girl. So he takes her into his harem. The miracle I want you to see there is, how can God reverse your age through 60 years from 90 back to the 30s? Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Ha! And we're going to see plenty of that in the end time. I prophesied this in 1990 when I wrote my book, The Joshua Generation. Age, reversal of age. You can see some of us, this last trip, my wife and I went to South Africa. You know, the people were attending to us. So one of the men was saying, asking us who we are, and they were helping us and everything, So the man said, how are you, son, all of that? He said, so I think my wife asked him a rhetorical question, and said, how old do you think we are? He said, you can't be more than 40. My wife and I started laughing. He said, honey, the man says you are 40 years old. I said, that's the miracle of God. Amen. I'm 65. But most people, when they see me outside, that's not the only place it's happened. It's happened over the years. When we go places, people think we're in our 40s. Oh, am I 40? I'm 65. But as I grow older, I'm going to start looking younger. By the time I'm 70, I start looking more like 30. It's a part of the covenant. The life of God. Stand to your feet. I want you to go home today. Hallelujah. It's being made manifest in our mortal flesh, whose youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the miracle of Abraham and Sarah. And they're a type of what God is doing in the end time. That is why at 70, by the grace and the mercy of God, because I'm not boasting. But the grace of God that is with me, I intend 70, 75, I'll be 70 in 5 years' time. You understand? I intend to still be going around on missions, preaching all over the whole place. I may be look at me and say, how old are you? I say, I'm just 34. And I will look that way. Not only will I look that way, I'll have the strength of it. Like Caleb. He said, I'm 85. He said, but I am stronger when I was 45. I fully intend to experience that by the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. And it's one of the part of the Abrahamic covenant. You see, that's why it's recorded. He said, all these were written for our learning. If God could reverse Abraham and Sarah's renew their youth in the Old Testament, what will he do for the perfect church that is established on a better covenant, established upon better promises? Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. Don't you never say, God help my unbelief. You know, we're so used to sin and death. All our lives, our generations, our fathers, we have seen sin and death corrupt them, age them, and many of them died. But this generation is different. The Joshua generation. The end time generation. This generation of the last 100 years of the earth will do things that everything that is written in the Bible will be their inheritance. Stop thinking old. Start thinking young. Amen. I still study physics. This brain, I keep it working. Amen. I do programming in Mathematica and all kinds of programming languages. I've got my ChatGPT. I've got Gemini that are helping me. I keep it because I have a destiny to fulfill. Say 65, 75. It's time to retire. No. It's time to refire.
Amen.
I fully intend, by the grace and the mercy of God, to get younger and to have my youth renewed like the eagles. Swim, exercise, enjoy my life. My wife and I. Till Jesus comes. I have no intention of allowing sin and death to slow me down, and the natural aging and death process for it to cripple me. No, sir. I refuse to accept that. For the scripture says, your youth is renewed like the eagles.
and you are the seed of Abraham, and the blessings of Abraham, including age reversal, is yours. A clap offering for the Lord. Laulu, on that note, we can say the grace. Put your hand on your heart. Huh? Dearly beloved, this is good. This is why it's called gospel. Good news. I just got a word. It is only for those who will follow the example of Abraham. Don't be lazy. If you are lazy, you're not going to get it. Be not slothful, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Abraham took 75 years, but he inherited it. You don't have to get 25 years. Follow the faith of Abraham. We'll deal with that in my next teaching. The example of Abraham and every blessing Abraham got, you will get, including renewal of youth. Put one hand on your heart. Raise your hand. Say, Heavenly Father, Lord, have mercy on us. Receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the covenant of Abraham, of which I am a part, because Abraham is the father of many nations. And through Jesus Christ, I am the seed of Abraham. So all the blessings of Abraham are mine through Jesus Christ, including and in particular renewal of youth. Father, by your mercy and grace, I receive strength for my youth to be renewed. I will stay strong. I will stay healthy, mentally alert. My eye will not be dim. My natural strength will not be abated as long as I live to finish my course and my assignment of the perfection and the fullness of Christ in this generation, in Jesus' name. Neka shokoto freka klamaka. Ne prigiko fredelas. Father, thank you. Sala prakatolo moto fres. Lord Jesus, prakatolo moto fres. Lord Holy Ghost, prakatolo moto fres. Thank you for your blood, la prigito fridi. Thank you for your life, shala prakatolo moto fres. Thank you for your power, ne kato fres. Jelika, frede klamatolo, rikato fres. Zerega rahaya yakako fres. Limbra koko. In and upon our wills, la prakatolo moto fres. Our minds, la prakatolo fres. Our emotions, our bodies, our regional heavenlies, Lambra, in this regard, insufficient measure. Rima, Zelika Fre, Gashtofri, Venus, Choco, in Jesus' name. In this regard, if you need healing, see, I've said it many times over the years, and I'm going to keep saying it. It's not wrong to use medical science. I use medical science. Kenneth Hagin used medical science. Jesus told them to go and use medical science. It's not wrong with it. But don't lean on it. The difference between using something and leaning on it. Don't put all your faith in medical science. Use it. Make you help get you better quickly and all that. Then once you are better, get back into the Word. Don't say, well, you know, I have the doctor. Get your life and health from God's word. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not. So when you use medical science, you know, malaria or whatever it is, and you get better, don't get lazy spiritually, because the medical science has helped you. Now take that strength and get back into the word. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Lean not on your own understanding. Use it, but don't lean on it. Many Christians are trusting in science rather than trusting in God. Use the science and then leverage it to solidify your trust in God. Pray. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. My health does not come from the drugs. It comes from God. Now, the drugs can accelerate the process, which is fine, you know. But I am growing spiritually every day, increasing the prosperity of my soul to the point where there will be so much life in my body, I won't even need drugs again. But I won't say I don't need drugs. No. If I need it, I'll use it. But I will never lean on it. It's a great paradigm shift. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. God said, I should say that as I close. Believest thou this? Do you really believe God's word that your youth can be renewed like the eagles? Believest thou this? Believest thou? If you don't, there's nothing wrong in being honest and saying, Lord, help down my unbelief. Nothing wrong in it. If you really, if deep down your heart you don't really believe it yet, just say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me. But this, there's going to be an end time. There is not going to be an end time generation that's going to demonstrate all these things. You're going to see 80-year-old men and women who look like in their 30s. You're going to see it. And maybe who I'm looking before, you're looking at now, I'm already moving in that direction. I'm not there fully yet, but I'm already moving in that direction. I still exercise. I move around, you know. I make sure I'm active mentally, physically, because I got a job to do. I don't want to start looking haggard and old, you know. Look young, you know. Put on perfume, look nice. I still think it's all in the mind. As a man thinks, you know, I'm 65 years old, but I'm still thinking the way I was when I was 23. Of course, I'm wiser now. But, you know, I still have, I'm very young at heart. Very young at heart. It's all in the mind. If you need healing, just stretch your hand. Father, release the healing power into their bodies whose hands are outstretched, both here and at home. Lord, heal them, Lord, in Jesus' name, and cause their youth to be renewed like the eagles. In Jesus' name, let's share the grace in fellowship.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, sbcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.